You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we get to meet an amazing early career realtor who, frankly, I just adore. I wrote a page of notes from her. You're going to enjoy this conversation too. Mackenzie Turner is with us from Greenville, South Carolina. Enjoy this conversation, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello, Mackenzie.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Are those mirrors or plates behind you on the wall?
They are plates, actually.
They're so cute. Is that a find? Marshalls or Home Goods?
Yeah, old time pottery.
My kind of shopper, all right.
Yeah.
Always a test to see if you're a normal person or she, and I'm not very she.
No, me either. All of my stuff either comes from an antique shop on a really good deal or somewhere like old time pottery.
So I will say one of my proudest things as a parent is my 18-year-old daughter loves thrifting, and she loves going to not your traditional antique shop, probably the one you're referencing where like, everybody has their own little booth and you can kind of go around and see different stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Some really random things. And I'm like, do you need that? And she's like, I love it. I'm like, oh, okay. So you're still at the age in life where you can love it and not need it and enjoy that thing.
Exactly. Enjoy it because it doesn't last forever.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Mackenzie. Tell my viewers more about Mackenzie Turner. Where are you located? How long have you been in real estate? Give them a little bit of background.
So I joined in real estate on March the 17th of 2020, which remember,
4 days after the lockdown, because the lockdown was Friday the 13th.
Yes. So 4 days after the lockdown. I did not know that COVID was a thing. I don't watch the news. It's way too much as far as, you know, I delve into the things that are related to the things I need to know about. But as far as things at that time, I was working in the corporate world where I did not need to know what was going on. I could be in a bubble. And so I remember quitting my day job and I got a call from my mom and she said, Mackenzie, honey, can you just go to the grocery store and get as many groceries as you can because there's this thing called COVID and people are dying and everything's shutting down. And I was like,
Mom, you're crazy.
So I started in 2020. That was one of the most exciting years. It was very scary. We had decided to take it on a leap of faith at the time. My boyfriend and I were now married and have a child. But since then, it has been a crazy ride. I have closed that first year in that first 9 months, I closed 15 properties.
Whoa. Okay. So by the way, listeners, for reference, the average realtor, according to our statistics, sells 6 properties per year. So that's the average of any tenure in the business. And so you were brand new.
Brand spanking new.
9 months out of the gate and almost triple the average. Let's just give Mackenzie around
the table. Yeah. It was one of those moments where you just realize I'm in the right business. I found my passion. So I'm in the Greenville, South Carolina market, the upstate of South Carolina. And if you have been listening to your podcast at all, there are a lot of folks who know all about how crazy the North Carolina and South Carolina markets can be. So we're getting a little influx of a lot of relocations, which is something that I do work with quite a bit, is relocation. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. But I also work a lot with first-time home buyers because I come from a family who bought and stayed in the one home. My parents have been there for 33 years now and have no intentions on ever moving, no matter how hard I try. And so it's really nice to see as people are able to kind of getting into home ownership and being able to break those molds. My husband comes from a very, very small town called Hickory Tavern. And
We have a restaurant in Charlotte called Hickory Tavern, but it's not a town. So is that town about the size of the restaurant probably?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a red light and the middle school and elementary school are in the same building.
Oh, okay. So I could say middle school and high school together, but elementary with middle, there's a whole long way between kindergarten and the eighth grade nowadays. Whew.
Oh, yeah. And it's fun. But, you know, in that county, it's so small that they only have 2 high schools in the entire county, and they're in 2 separate sides. So all the schools funnel into those high schools. And so, yeah, if you combine those together, that would be a mess, to say the least.
Oh, I just can't even imagine. And so now you grew up in Greenville?
I grew up in Anderson, so one county south. Love it. I loved Anderson growing up. Stayed there for college, shockingly. And then when I started working in corporate, I worked in downtown Greenville and found a love for Greenville that I never knew I could have, and knew immediately that's where I wanted to be. I had to be there.
So when you transitioned to real estate, what was it that made you want to jump into real estate? Has you always been obsessed with HGTV, or did you like houses? Or did you want the freedom of picking your own schedule? What drew you to this business?
So what drew me to this business was when I started in the corporate world, I worked for higher education and I worked in a call center. And so I started out as setting appointments for advisors to help these students. And then I got promoted very quickly and moved into an advisor position and was able to help those students. And I could keep a track, a running track. How many students had I helped?
Aww.
And it was an amazing thing. And then very quickly, I got into training and quality assurance. So my dedication went from the students to helping those people who were helping those students. So there was a track there I could keep track of those that I was helping. And then at one point, after about 3 years, they brought me into a different position where I was getting into corporate management. They put me into a position where I became an assistant to a client manager. And I was very
assistant to the regional manager. I'm so sorry. You walked into a Dwight Schrute moment there. I was like, here we go, assistant to the regional manager.
Oh, yeah. And the bad part was, is I didn't realize at the time I was the assistant of the assistant.
Oh, so your description wasn't very explicit.
No. And so they had me traveling all over the country. I went to Kentucky. I was slated to go to Texas. Here in Greenville, there were only 3 offices. And it's so funny because I remember going to Kentucky and I was so excited about going to Texas. And I got there and I looked around and I didn't like the people that I was helping.
Oh.
I wasn't helping students any longer. There was no need for me any longer. And I didn't have the reward that I needed in a job. And that's something that I've always looked for, is I've got to have reward. I've got to know that what I'm doing matters in some way, shape, or form. And towards the end of that, I went and bought a house in 2019 with my now husband. And I loved the process.
That's the first time somebody's ever said they love the process of buying a house. They love their house. The process, sister, you are an odd bird.
I am, because the funny part is I didn't love my house. I called it the Crayola crayon house. There was a different color in every room. I'm talking burnt orange, frog green, sunshine, yellow, teal, and 2 different shades. I told my husband, I said, there is no way. No. He was like, oh, it's just a paint, coat of paint. He's right. It was just a coat of paint, because I absolutely adore my house now. But it was the thing that got my foot in the door. And it was so funny. We're going in one of the houses for a showing. And the agent looked at me and she says, you need to be a real estate agent. And you need to call me the day you decide to. And I did. That's exactly what I did. I called her about 6 months later and was like, all right, it's time. And we didn't have a nest egg. We didn't have much to our name or anything. We were just 2 young kids trying to figure it out. And I looked at him one day and I said, I hate my job. I have gone from loving and adoring what I do to hating my job. I need something different. And he said, okay, we'll just do it. We'll figure it out. God will give us what we need. He always provides. And sure enough, 15 closings later in 9 months in a whirlwind of chaos that was COVID. And I was established in the business and ready to go, and have actually gotten into coaching this year. So I am now back into a training coaching position, which just, it's been joyous to say the least.
Because of course you are, because you're wired for that, scaling the knowledge out with other people. So yeah. I want to know, because we often hear from new agents, they're just scared to death to go from, I have a license, they try to dabble part-time and do real estate.
Yep.
And then they live in this state of, can I, can't I, can I, can't I, can I, can't I go full time? And as much as I might say it, because I mama hen these folks and say, if you don't go all in, you're never going to have to survive. Yeah. There's something about the sheer panic of, if I don't get up and hustle, it's not going to happen. That kind of forces you into a place where you're going to sink or swim. So when you went from a job that had turned tedious to getting into a house, I don't have a nest egg. Wait a minute. I'm going to quit my job. I have a nest egg. We have a house. There's a mortgage payment. I have.
Oh, God. COVID.
Just between, block that out. So everything's happening. Yeah. How in the world did you find the intestinal fortitude, Mackenzie, to say, I can do this? Because frankly, you know, we kind of almost joke about COVID now because of, you, I mean, you can look back at the beginning of it. Nobody knew what to do. And then everything went stupid and stayed stupid for a while. And we kind of look back at some of the policies. They didn't make any sense, but it caused a lot of people to question everything. They questioned themselves. They questioned their decisions. They questioned the people they're married to or sleeping with. And they questioned their kids, their parents, and they questioned everything. Yeah. So how did you find the, I can do this, where you had an exclamation point and not a question mark in yourself to go full time?
I could not be here without my husband. It was so funny. First of all, my team. So I work with Sean and Sherry Group in Weikert Realtor, Sean and Sherry Group in Simpsonville. And having that team, we are a family. And I firmly believe that in every form of the word. And so having them behind me and then having my husband be the cheerleader that he is. I remember there were times that I was like, what did I do? And he's like, I'll hush. I'll shut up. You're fine. You're the best. And his favorite line is anytime someone says anything about needing a house, he's like, oh, I know a real hot realtor who can help you out.
That's so cute.
The funniest. And I've seen him text it to people. I've seen him comment it on Facebook. He is just the funniest. But having that community, having a brokerage firm that was small enough and close enough to support me and to push me forward, and who immediately said the same things that my husband were and said, you know, you are going to be great at this. You can do this. You're a rock star. Having that, even when you don't believe it yourself, having that and being pushed to that level, you don't want to let them down. That's the big thing, is you don't want to let them down. And thankfully, I didn't.
Because, you know, I'm thinking of what I'm always writing things down when we're chatting, because what you said there is kind of fascinating to me, because it's the opposite grain to society. Because right now, our society is built on, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And we have to self-affirm. And UP, there's a huge cottage business out there, affirmation books and coaches and videos, but it's all self-affirmation. But what you're saying is, it was being affirmed by your closest support. It was not, I can do it. It was, you can do this. Mackenzie, we believe in you. Yes. Your husband says, I believe in you. And he's so confident in you. He can say, I know this really hot realtor, where we know there's a lot of people out there who, A, don't say nice things about their spouses, but B, if they do, they don't want to, well, my realtor's hot, because what if somebody steals her from me? He's so confident in your relationship and confident in you, that it makes a really cute little catchphrase that
it does.
Catching on video saying that, because that'd be the cutest little thing ever. If you made a little gif out of your husband, just going to say that you're young, so you can make a gif, I'm pretty sure, or a gif, however you say it. So my question to you, audience people, so if you're watching or listening to this, at the end of this episode, after you say nice things about Mackenzie down in the comments, you're going to have to figure out who it is that's going to cheer for you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a husband or a wife or a somebody, you probably have a best friend. You might have a best real estate friend. You might have a mom, a dad, a kid, a nephew, a dog. Somebody's got to cheer for you, though. And every one of us should know our one person who will always cheer for us. And you're lucky enough to have it at home and in your brokerage. So how 100%. Lucky do you feel that you landed in a brokerage with that environment? Because you've already been in the business long enough to see that it is a unique brokerage culture you've landed in, because not every brokerage is wired that way.
So true. And we actually have a joke within my brokerage firm. So funny enough, as these big things were happening, I met my husband in November of 2018. And in 2019, we bought our house. 2020 COVID happened. And I went into real estate. And 1 short month after going into real estate, he proposed. Aww. 1 year later, in May of 21, we got married. And in June, maybe it was August, I don't even remember, because I tried to eliminate it from my mind, I left my brokerage firm and I went somewhere else. And part of it for me was I had realized that I had big event in my life. And I had hit a wall where I was like, well, we don't want kids. So now what do we do? And I was like, oh, I'll change a brokerage firm. And I got solicited and I left. And it was funny, on my exit interview, my broker said, "You'll be back in 3 weeks."
3 weeks?
I understand. Pretty fast. Yes. Said, "I understand what you're doing. You came into an environment where you don't know what it's like to not have this family. And sometimes you just have to learn. So I'll see you in a few weeks." And sure enough, 21 days later, I called her sobbing, "What did I do?"
And she said, "Come home, baby, come home."
That's exactly what she did. Her and her husband, so Sherry and Sean both, they had a meeting with myself and Andrew. It, like I said, it's a family thing. And there was no punishment. There was no judgment. There was like, okay, you learned your lesson. Come on home. It was the most valuable lesson. I know now exactly how lucky I am. And so being able to be part of our Partner Up program and express that and have that point of reference for our new agents who are coming in and saying, "You don't know what it's like to have to go out and to do these things and to be as blessed as you are to have been able to join this family," is a huge thing. I tell people all the time who ask me, "What got you into real estate? What do I do to get into real estate?" Number one thing, find your tribe. You have to find your tribe. You have to interview with brokerage firms. Don't let them sell you. It's an emotion. It's a feeling. If you feel at home, you know you're with the right place.
Okay, so I understand that there's something else I forgot to ask you about. Tell me what that was.
Okay, so I am in the progress of taking your How to Dominate During a Recession class. And oh my gosh, it's just absolutely the best. It's really helpful to understand and to know what it was like during the other recessions and to how to proceed. But also at the same time, in the back of your mind, remembering that every recession is not the same. So you have to be prepared, but you have to be flexible. So understanding, educating during this downtime in our market, educate, getting on top of that and being prepared. So take as many classes as you can, get involved with your association. Just really diving in has been, I'm so excited to get it completed, but it's a great class. Highly recommend.
Glad that you're finding it helpful. And I love what you said too, that every recession is different, because whether the media wants to call it one or not, we know the economy is not feeling perfect right now. And when things feel that's when we do more education for ourselves so we can give that education to our clients. And so thank you for those kind words. I can't wait to get the full review when you finish it. And by the way, friends, if you follow the link here, we might have a discount code to get you involved in that class as well. So you can join Mackenzie and get some education in your yoga pants in the evenings while you see clients during the day. So thank you for that kind recommendation. I'm so glad you're enjoying the class.
You're welcome.
Okay, so you said something in there that's kind of wild, and I don't even know if you caught it, but anybody's listening to this or watching it, if you're a broker, I bet you caught it too, because agents do change firms. That's an organic, natural thing in real estate. Yeah. It's not a bad thing, because there are so many different styles and cultures, and the way that our business is structured, the reason it's wildly competitive is because there is something for everyone, and you don't always land in the right place at first. And so I'm a broker. I've experienced agent loss, and it's always a mix of I'm heartbroken because I love them as humans, but I'm also proud of them because they're going to go stretch themselves and find something different. But you made this comment that when you called and wanted to come back, there was no judgment and there was no punishment. And I don't know of any broker on the face of the earth who would punish somebody who came back. Plenty of judging, we judge all the time, but the punishment piece, which makes me wonder if, because you've had that fear, if other agents have a fear that they're somehow going to be punished or looked down upon for coming back.
Yes.
And I know that, like, I keep all of my former agent signs, because I tell them, you know, when you go, I'm going to keep your signs. And then if you come back, we can seamlessly get you back out into the field. And of course, I have signs or agents that will never come back because they found a place that fits them better. But punishment, I'm wondering if all of us brokers don't need to speak to that, that if the fear exists, you can't be the only one that felt that way, because
there has to be. Because, I mean, when you think about having the conversations with the other agents behind, you know, we're already so scared as agents when we go to the broker and say, "Hey, I'm leaving." The heartbreak is big for our brokers as it is for us agents. And I think it's fear of punishment, but also you have to have the ability to swallow your pride to go back home. You are leaving for a reason. So you have to understand that whatever that reason was, you have to face the fact that either you weren't right, you learned your lesson, tuck your tail and come home, or just swallow your pride. I'm not bigger and better. I didn't have bigger things, or whatever it was, because you're going to give whatever those excuses are to your broker as you're leaving, right? So having that comfort level, because I'm going to tell you, when she said, it wasn't an immediate yes, it was, let's have a conversation. And immediately I'm like, oh God, oh no. It's like sitting in the principal's office and
your heart's doing this.
Yeah, my husband's the same way. He's like, oh God, they want to talk to me. What do they want to talk to me about? Because
he's I didn't do anything.
So it was a very funny interaction, but it was also everything that we needed to feel like we were still part of the family, because I think there was so much growth for us as a couple, and they were there for every step of the way. And then to be able to come back and say, hey, I messed up, I left, or it didn't work, or whatever the case may be. I think there is, especially being a new agent, there's so much fear of the unknown. A lot of times that fear can be misplaced into things like fearing punishment if you come back, you know, not knowing how that shakes out. What does that do to my splits? Do I have cap now? Did they change it? You know, you just don't know. And so you have to be fearless.
Love this so much. And I'm sitting here already putting a postcard into design in my head for a homecoming event for former agents or people who've interviewed here and may want to take a second look, but they've got a fear. Thank you, Mackenzie. That's such a great perspective. Okay. So I'm also going to point out, because I have to, being a Jesus girl, you're like totally describing the prodigal son parable that Jesus told.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Where the prodigal son needs to go sow his wild oats. And then he hits that moment where he wants to come home and he's kind of scared too. But what does daddy say? Come on in, baby. Come on.
Come on in. Yep.
So anyway, if you're not a believer, look it up. It's a great story. And if you are a believer, then you can high five as well, because so much truth in that living word. All right. So Mackenzie, in this show, we love hearing some stories about what has been crazy that you've seen in real estate. And I'm dying to know what you've seen in your time in the business that you've been comprised of, the wild COVID run up, and then some stabilizing of the market while interest rates did the same thing prices did. They shot straight up, a little bit of stabilization. So tell us a story, honey. Tell us a story.
Oh, Lord. It was so funny because my husband said, which story do you tell?
I know, right? Never just
So, and there's another joke in the brokerage firm. If it could happen, it's going to happen to Mackenzie. So that's a fun thing, though, because I do love a challenge. So I think the craziest thing I ever had happen was recently. I went into a house, and I'm connected with a client currently who is a firm believer in things of the paranormal. And you know, it's yesterday's Halloween. Happy Dia de los Muertos for those who are listening. And so it was so interesting to get her perspective. She loves to chat and I love it. And we get caught up for hours. But she was telling me all these different stories about the ways that paranormal activity or spirits or feelings or whatever would come into her life. And it was a very interesting perspective, because being a believer, we don't usually delve into those type of things, right? And so we went into this house and I said, something's off. This seller is trying a little too hard. There was a table and it had all these toys with a note, let your kiddos play. There were donuts and cookies and chips on the dining room table with drinks, and it had a note, enjoy all the snacks you want. Like, there was music playing, the fireplace was on. I'm like, these folks are trying, because I've never, in all my years, I've never seen this. And so I'm like, this is odd. This is very odd. So we walk through the house. Her daughter's with us, who also believes the same things. And she goes into the house. And we go out the back and don't see anything out of the ordinary. Come back in. All the doors are shut. Everything is locked. The key is on the side table right next to the door. And we go upstairs and I look in the first room. Everything seems normal. And I go into the baby's room across the hall. And I said, oh, nope, we're done. Time to go. And she said, what? And I said, there is a cemetery in the backyard. So just past the fence line was a cemetery with hundreds of headstones. And she said, oh no, yeah, no, this is not going to work. And I, yeah, no. So we're sitting there talking, and my husband and I have this joke about, you know, all the pops in the house that you hear. We call them Joe. the Joe haunts our house. It's always been a joke. So we're telling her about that and talking about a couple other things. And her daughter's going up and down the stairs to get cookies and donuts. Of course, you have a 13-year-old. Of course, what she's going to do.
It's right there.
Right. And she just got out of cross-country training, so she's hungry. And we come downstairs after we're done talking, and the front door is wide open.
The one you locked?
The one that I locked. The keys have been moved from the side table to the table. Mm. The back door, the back sliding glass door, is slid wide open, and the music is no longer playing. And I was like, we're out. Everybody out. Everybody out.
Time is over.
So we all, you know, I run and shut the door and lock it. I got out the house as quickly as I could. That poor girl was on the other side of her mama's car within 30 seconds. I mean, it took no time. And I called the agent because they had cameras everywhere. And I said, can you please tell me if someone came in behind? And she called me back and she's like, there was nobody at that house. I don't know what you're talking about. So I have never been so scared in my life. I don't do hunting. That's not my thing. And I still to this day don't know what it was. The door was locked. It could have been the daughter. But as scared as she was, I don't think it was hers. That was the craziest experience I've had. Funny enough, the next showing we went to, the client brought me sage and was like, sage yourself, because we've been haunted for the last week. We didn't talk to each other for a week.
I mean, we will give California credit for bringing the sage burning to the Carolinas, because we didn't have a whole lot of that before we all these relocation people. But
oh, goodness.
No. Wait a minute. When she looked at the video, did she see the front door get opened or the back door get opened?
Nope. She didn't see anything. They didn't see anything at all. It was very strange. And I'm like, okay, so seller's trying real hard. You don't see anything happen on the video. They have been haunted. So the cemetery in the back, there were orange flags everywhere. They were going through and making changes to the property behind. So, of course, my clients, like, their graves are being disturbed. Of course, they're haunting. That's not shocking at all.
People, they move in graves? No.
Yeah, you don't mess with that. Nope. The more real estate related, craziest thing I've ever had happen was, we had a client who, first time home buyer, finally found a house after about 6 months of searching, and she was so excited to the closing day and went for our final walkthrough. Everything was normal. Everything was fine. We had had all inspections, and we close on the property, and my client goes to the property and the water's not turned on. So she has to call the water company. They get it turned on, and within 2 hours, I get a phone call that the entire house has been flooded. So, unfortunately, the seller had used an unlicensed individual to do some of the repairs. When the house flooded, when they started doing remediation, they found that 3/4 of one of the walls had been eaten out by termites.
Oh, that's a lot.
Which none of was found in our inspection. And so then I start getting phone calls because the repairs and the inspection and the termite letter were not paid for. The listing agent had not taken ownership of the invoices. The seller kept assuring him it would be taken care of. When the attorney and all of the companies reached out to her, she giggled and said, I took my money and ran. I'm not even in the country anymore.
She literally said that out loud?
Yeah, she literally had no intentions of ever paying. My client was completely out. There was nothing she could do. And they ran. She ran. We never heard hide nor hair of her ever since. Seller's agent or myself included. And of course, I took care of what I needed to take care of to make sure she was okay. Insurance takes care of what they needed to take care of. And she's happy with us now. There's no hard feelings. But it definitely was one of those instances where you got to remember, hey, once you take ownership, you walk away from that closing table, all the problems, they're all yours.
In North Carolina contract paperwork, there's a big, bold, all caps sentence, which you always know something's in all caps in lawyer letters. It's real. And it says, closing shall constitute acceptance of the property in its then existing condition as of the date of closing, which I think people, we try and holler at them real clearly. Once you sign the papers, you inherited all of it. And the worst thing there is you thought you had the things buttoned up as much as you could, without knowing that the other side was shifty, shady and fleeing the country. But I got to ask you a question. Have you talked to that buyer recently?
Yeah.
Still glad he bought the house?
Yes, actually. Once she had everything taken care of and she was able to get everything cleared out and got her family in from Arizona, she was extremely happy.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest thing about real estate, too. If you think about it, we do encounter some really nasty, insane, expensive situations. But once the dust settles, almost without question, the person who's in that house is like, I'm good. I like my house.
It was worth it.
Interest rates and prices and everything else, they have other reasons to be glad, but just the emotional, I'm in.
Yeah.
Gives a lot of peace. And so it's just a matter of navigating the unexpected. And so when you look at that scenario as a early career agent, mm-hmm. what have you changed in your processes because of what happened on the other side? Because you didn't have control over it. So have you added any check boxes or anything to your process because of that that's helped you protect your clients?
Paid invoices. So that is something that, you know, I don't care if I see a copy of that invoice. It either needs to be, I need to see that the attorney has a copy of it. So it's coming from the attorney, that I can see it's coming out on that settlement statement, or a paid invoice. There are no other options outside of that. If it is not paid for, it's not complete. We're not closing. I don't care if you have evidence or not. Insuring and calling the folks that did the work were insured and licensed, because not being able to get in touch with someone, not being able to guarantee that they're licensed, they could do some really shady work. And that's exactly what happened in this case. So just doing your homework, doing your due diligence. You know, we always talk about due diligence on the buyer side, but you've got to do your due diligence on the seller side too. You got to make sure that the sellers are doing what they said they would do.
That's a great point. And frankly, it's just another example of the kind of work that we do as professional realtors that not everybody sees, because we're constantly buttoning things up. But it's also on us, because we never tell our clients that we had to go through and button things up because they thought it was so easy because we made it look easy. So to the public, we handle a lot of stuff y'all don't see. And to agents, we got to make sure we're telling people how much we do on the back end. And I got to add a little asterisk here for my friends that are not in the Carolinas. When Mackenzie and I talk about attorneys, we still close with attorneys in North and South Carolina. For those of y'all in title states, just replace the word attorney for title company, and then you'll maybe understand what we're talking about here. But lucky us to have an attorney state.
Yeah.
All right. So Mackenzie, if somebody wants to reach out to somebody in the Greenville market who also knows Anderson and has a connection to Hickory Tavern, and also has some insights on being early career, what's the best way for them to find you?
Best way to find me would be call or text. My number is 864-367-7007. And then I will also have my email address, Mackenzie@Sean and Sherry. Hopefully in the show notes.
Well, and funny enough, we'll have your cell phone number there too, and any handles to social media. So friends, just go to the show notes to connect with Mackenzie. Give her a high five for all that she's accomplished in her early career stages. And if you too are an early career agent, highly recommend that you connect with Mackenzie so y'all can work together to build real estate into an even better place, so that those of us that are old guard will be able to retire one day and say yay for the young people taking over. So Mackenzie, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving me some really fun little insights that I wrote down on my trusty notepad here. And I'm very grateful for all you shared with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lee. It was great.
All right, friends, say something nice about Mackenzie in the comments. Hit the subscribe bell and the notifications. And if you need to talk about something, you let me know. But in the meantime, tune in and come back and we'll see you then.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram @LeeThomasBrown, or tweet me @LeeBrown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.